I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus, a Nazarene, and wonder how he could love me, a sinner, condemned, unclean. Oh, how marvelous, oh, how wonderful. And my song shall ever be. Oh, how marvelous, oh, how wonderful is, Lord, your love for me. I'm thine, O Lord, I've heard your voice, and it told your love for me. But I long to rise in the arms of faith and be closer drawn to thee. So draw us near, O Lord. Help us this morning to understand more about your love, your will, your ways. We pray your Holy Spirit will move among us. Speak to each of us. For it's in your name we gather here. Amen. Hey, would you join me in saying thanks to Dave and the team this morning for a great job of leading us? Dave, great job, buddy. Well, this morning we end up our Names of God series. It's been a great series. I've really enjoyed it. Studying the names of God, and on this last day, we don't study a name of God, we study an attribute of God. Chesed. The word is spelled H-E-S-E-D, but we pronounce it Chesed. And so in that context, we'll talk more about the love of God, but say the word before we begin. Chesed. Good. I think you got it down. Before we begin, though, I want to just make a little bit of announcement. As of today, the west driveway is now open. So, yeah. A lot more people complained about not having it than just clapped. So, I'm glad you're so excited about that, but hopefully it's going to help solve a lot of the issues that you've had with traffic here. It won't solve everything. Someone asked me in a community group up in Bentonville a while back, hey, on our Bentonville campus, are we going to have traffic issues? And I said, yes, it's fellowship. We have traffic issues. Our greatest challenge through the years has been having enough parking spaces, enough seats for everyone who wanted to come. And so that's just the way it goes. But it's going to be a great help to us. And thanks to Commerce Construction and to Junior Dennis, all their crew, the great job that they've done in getting that prepared for us. And if you are parked on the west side of the campus, look at the little red arrows there. If you're parked on the west side of the campus and you exit to the west, on the east side, you can still exit out to the east onto 112. And if you don't know east from west, then you're likely the person that everyone's honking at. So just keep that in mind. Heard of an older lady, her friend had gone on a little day trip, and she was out on the freeway, and she was watching TV, and she saw breaking news that there was someone driving the wrong direction down the freeway. And so she called her friend, and she said, honey, be careful out there. There's someone driving the wrong direction down the freeway. And her friend said back to her, he said, it's not just one person. There are hundreds of them driving the wrong way. And so that may be you if you don't know east from west when you leave this morning. But we're thrilled because I tell you what, we were able to build the Fayetteville campus and pay for everything in a space of 5 years. And then we grew so fast that we needed to build more children's space. And we also needed that west driveway. And we were able to build all that right around $4 million without acquiring any debt at all because of the generosity of all of our congregations. Yeah, thank you. Thank you. And the folks in Rogers and Bentonville and Springdale and the Mosaic congregation as well. It's because of the generosity of everyone that we've been able to do all that. And so thank you to all of you. We're grateful to have it and looking forward to this fall and everybody getting back and being able to get everyone out east and west between services. Speaking of Bentonville, we have a project up there that's going on right now. Fellowship Bentonville. We're about 100 weeks into the project. And we're doing well. We're right on target. We want to build a campus there and pay for everything in the space of 5 years, just like we did here. And I want to give you a big kudos here because this region, the Fayetteville region, you are giving more to the Bentonville Project than any other region, even Bentonville. And so thank you for your generosity. But if you'll remember that they did the same for you back when we were raising the money for Fellowship Fayetteville and doing this, they were giving more from Bentonville than any other region. And so it's a wonderful reciprocal action that you all have going on here. But I want to encourage you, we have about $7 million in cash right now toward that project. We need to raise probably close to 20. And by December, we need to be at around $10 million. We want to give the elders confidence that they can move forward and that we're on track for this project. And so on the fellowshipbentonville.org site, I want you to remember that. If you go to that site, there's a button there that says recurring gift. And we need everyone in all our congregations over the next 3 weeks. I'm going to be sharing with everyone. We need everyone to do something. It's not just the big gifts that make a difference. It's all of us doing something. It's not about equal giving. It's about equal sacrifice. Everyone doing their part. And that's how we were able to build Fellowship Fayetteville. We had so many people contributing and making that happen. And so help us do that in Bentonville. You can go to fellowshipbentonville.org. You'll find updates there. But it's a wonderful opportunity to make an investment in what God is doing, not only here, but he will do up there. And I invite you to visit the campus up there. If you just go north on 49, here we are with the east, west, north, south again. If you go north on 49, you take exit 88B. Just remember 88 and out the gate. 88B, don't take A or you'll be going to P Ridge. But if you take B, it will go back over the interstate. Now you're going west. And right there by the come and go, by the interstate, you'll take a right on McCullum Drive. And you go down there about 0.7 miles. You're driving north now along just right beside the interstate. And you'll come to Tiger Boulevard. And you'll see a lot of trees and so forth. That's where our property begins. And we're not going to disturb those trees. We're going to let those sit. But about 0.1 mile up there, you'll see a little fenced-in parking lot. And that's a prayer lot for you to go in. And you'll see ribbons all around the fence there. And when people go to pray, there's a bucket with ribbons in it. And you can tie a ribbon on the fence. But it's really sweet to go to these empty spaces and imagine what God is going to do there. I remember us coming here and praying over this spot where Fellowship Fayetteville sits. I remember in Rogers, before there was anything on our campus there, 30 years ago, going and praying, God, would you do something incredible? And he is in both places, and he will in Bentonville. So encourage you to go up there and visit and say a prayer for what's going on, and also contribute, because it will make a great difference if you do in making an investment in that. All right, enough on that. Let's get back to the word chesed, the love of God. The love of God. We toss the word love around a lot, don't we? I love Cheerios. I love candy. I love my car. I love this. I love that. We use the word love for a lot of different things. But when you get into the Hebrew Bible, the Greek and the Hebrew, you'll notice that the very specific words are used for specific meanings. And that's what you're going to find with the word chesed. I asked David if they would sing that song this morning, The Love of God. And didn't they do a fantastic job with that song? And I just love it. The love of God is greater far than any tongue or pen could tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the deepest hell. Oh, love of God, how rich, how pure, how measureless and strong. It shall forevermore endure the saints' and angels' song. That song was written in 1900 by a guy named Frederick Lehman. And he was going through a tough time. He was in the pit. He had lost almost everything that he owned. And he had gone from being a successful businessman to working in a packing house in California, packing oranges and lemons. And he wondered, if God loved him, then how could God have allowed him to be at this place? But then he heard a sermon at church about the love of God, and he was intrigued to think more about it, and he was something of a poet. And so one day at work, during a break, he sat down on a packing box, he pulled out a scrap piece of paper, and with a stub pencil, began to write. He wrote about the love of God. Well, he got to the third verse and he was stumped. He had writer's block. He couldn't really come up with it. And so he remembered that someone had sent him a card that mentioned the love of God. And when he got home, he picked up that card and he read that verse, and that fit perfectly with what he had already written. It even matched the meter of what he had written. And he said, "This is it. This is my third verse." And down at the bottom of the card, it said this. This stanza was found written on the wall of the room of a patient in an insane asylum after the patient had died. And that really intrigued him. Later on, they found out that this was actually a Jewish poem that had been written in about 1000 AD. But they sang it a few minutes ago, but sometimes those words just run by us and we don't really pause to think about what they're saying. But think about this in relation to the love of God. Could we with ink the oceans fill? And were the skies of parchment made? Were every stalk on earth a quill? And every man a scribe by trade? To write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry. Nor could the scroll contain the whole if stretched from sky to sky. O love of God, how rich, how pure, how measureless, how strong. It shall forevermore endure the saints' and angels' song. The closest that I can personally relate to the love of God is the love for my children. That's as close as I can get to that. I know Aaron and Kelly, I saw you over here. You just returned from a trip out west with your four, right? And how many did you come back with? You still got all of them. All right. Yeah, they were in a car, went all the way out west. But this is a picture of my daughter, Kevi. She was our first, and I cropped the picture so that you couldn't see my hair and took away the pleasure of you talking about how gray I've gotten over the years. But that was her when she was around 20 months old, something like that. And I just loved her so much. I'd never known, Denise and I talked about it. It's a kind of love that's different from the love you have for your spouse. It's just all encompassing. You just love that little thing and you care for them so much. And now she has her own boys. That's Judah on the left, and that's Aiden on the right. He's a little slobber possum. We call him Squishy. But they are so much fun. Grandkids are so much better, aren't they? The grandkids are just fantastic. But with those little guys, I love to watch Kevi, my oldest daughter. You know, they told us for years that we wouldn't be able to have kids. And then all of a sudden, boom, she gets pregnant with Kevi. And then boom, with the next one. And then boom, with the next one. And then I was afraid to look at her crooked after that. It was just so beautiful to have those children. But I was admiring her one day. And she will run her finger across her cheeks and just sing to them and talk to them. And I was sitting beside her. She was just, little Judah was just a baby. And she was just adoring him. And I said, "Kevi." She looked at me and I said, "Now you know how much we love you." And a look of astonishment came over her face because she had never related the fact that we loved her as much as she loved him. And I said, "Now you know how we felt when you moved away and went to college. Now you know how we felt when you moved to Denver." And she couldn't say a word. She just looked at me and nodded. Well, let me tell you, as deep as that love is, it's only a whisper of God's love for us. The chesed of God runs as deep as the ocean and as high as the stars. The word chesed is used 248 times in the Old Testament. 248 times. And it describes that perfect love of God. English translators have difficulty finding one word that describes chesed. You can see all the combinations they put together that you'll find throughout the Old Testament. Loving mercy, loving kindness, merciful goodness, kindness, mercy, goodness, lasting love, loyal love, unfailing love, steadfast love. That is the love of God. Books and articles and dissertations have been written about this one word, chesed, because of its theological importance. It's not a feeling, it's an action. It's who God is, and he declares it as such in Exodus 34, verse 6. I want you to look at that with me. The Lord, the Lord, and we know that is Yahweh because Lord is in all caps all the way across. Remember, we'll talk about that in a moment. A God merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. And faithfulness, keeping steadfast love, chesed for thousands. And this came in the context. Moses, he talked to God like a friend. Moses begged to see God's face. He'd been there on that mountain with him, and all he had done was heard his voice. He wanted to see his face. And Moses said, God said to Moses, can't do that. You can't handle it. I can't let you see my face or you'll die. But here's what I'm going to do for you. I will hide you in the cleft of a rock and I'll put my hand over you and I'm going to pass by. And God declares his very essence when he passes by Moses. Yahweh, Yahweh, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in chesed and stay in faithfulness, keeping chesed for thousands. That's who he is. God is love. 1 John 4, John says it twice. He says, God is love. God is love. It's the essence of the God who loves you and me. Psalm 136 that David just read with us responsively. As we look at that, it says, give thanks to the Lord for he is good. His steadfast love endures forever. That word Lord, Yahweh, we know there. L-O-R-D, all caps. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. Then it says, give thanks to the God of gods. That's Elohim. As you've studied the names of God, you understand this. And then we have give thanks to the Lord of lords. That's Adonai. And what are the meanings of those? Well, Yahweh, as you'll remember as we've studied Yahweh, that's his personal name. When Moses said, who shall I tell Pharaoh is sending us? He said, I am that I am. It literally means to be. It's Yahweh, the tetragrammaton. It means four letters. And that was God's name for himself that he gave to Moses. I am that I am. It means he always was, he is, he always will be. He just is. And when I think of the word Yahweh, when he says I am, I hear God saying to me, I am all you will ever need. I just am. And then Elohim. Genesis 1, that almighty, powerful God. In the beginning, God created. And then we have Adonai, Lord, the master, the ruler, the owner, from Psalm 50, 10, where he says, I own the beasts on the beasts of all the fields. The cattle on 1,000 hills are mine. He is our master, our ruler, our owner. And did you know that you can acknowledge God as Elohim and not know him as Adonai? Oh, you can believe in intellectual assent that God is great, that he created everything, and yet not submit to him as the ruler, our master, our owner. Sometimes we forget that we've been bought with a price. He owns us. And so if you will learn these different uses of God, you see Adonai there is capital L in the lowercase O-R-D. If you will recognize these, it will change the way you read the Old Testament. Give thanks to Yahweh, for he is good. His steadfast love endures forever. Give thanks to Elohim. His steadfast love endures forever. Give thanks to Adonai. His steadfast love endures forever. That's who he is. In Psalm 51, a broken man wrote these words to God as he was approaching him. Wash away all my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions and my sin is always before me. Isn't that a miserable place to be? When you've sinned and it's just right there, you can't think about anything else. You can't do anything else because your fellowship with God has been broken because of your sin. It's always before me. He says, against you and you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight. So you are right in your verdict and justified when you judge. Surely I was sinful at birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me. Yet you desired faithfulness even in the womb. You taught me wisdom in that secret place. Cleanse me with hyssop and I will be clean. Wash me and I will be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones you have crushed rejoice. What an apt description of what it feels like to live in sin without God. Crushed bones. Hide your face from my sins. Don't even look at me. Blot out all my iniquity. Create in me a pure heart, O God. That's what I want. And renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. You likely recognize this is Psalm 51. After the prophet Nathan confronted David over his sin with Bathsheba and his complicity in murdering her husband Uriah. And Nathan the prophet looked at him and said, "You are the man." And David was broken. I left out verse 1 because I want you to see the very basis of his approach to God. Look what he says in verse 1. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your chesed, your unfailing love. He understood that God's love was greater than his sin. God's love is greater than our sin. It reaches beyond our sin. It sees us not for what we are, but for what we can be. David had a relationship with God, and that relationship was not broken. God doesn't do that, but his fellowship was broken, and he couldn't stand that broken fellowship between he and God. Of saying to God, "Don't even look at me right now. I'm a sinner." Garland said a couple of weeks ago, as he mentioned chesed in his message, he said that it's a love that pursues, and most certainly it does. It pursued me. It pursued me when I was running from God. Psalm 103 gives us an apt description. He says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquity, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit." Have you ever been in the pit? No? I have. It's a terrible place to be. Who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love, who crowns you with chesed. When he pulls you out of the pit, he crowns you with chesed and mercy, who satisfies you with good, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the people of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in chesed, steadfast love. He's slow to anger. Aren't you glad? Don't you wonder sometimes why the Lord just hasn't taken this world and slapped it like a tennis ball across the universe and said, "Enough, I'm done"? He hasn't because of his chesed, because of his love. We ought to be on our knees thanking him for his love for us. God, we have this wrong image of God. He is not some heavenly killjoy sitting up there on a throne with a stick in his hand just waiting for you to mess up. Just waiting for you. Just do it. Just step across that line. And I'll throw some disease or calamity on you that you'll never forget. That's not how he operates. That's not what he looks for in you. His love sees so much more than that. see Charlie. I love Charlie Seagull. Charlie's battling lung cancer right now. It's not because Charlie did anything wrong. The product of our disease and calamities are a part of this broken, fallen world. And what Jesus does is walk with us through those darkest times. Charlie, how does someone face what you're facing without the hope of Jesus? We've talked about it. Charlie came up to Rogers. I asked him one day, he had been diagnosed with a lung cancer, and he was in the middle of life's storm. And I was teaching on the disciples being out on the Sea of Galilee in the boat when the storm rose. And I asked Charlie if he'd come up, and he said, yes, I will. And we sat on stools on the stage, and we talked about dealing with the storms of life. And Charlie, I'll never forget what you told everyone. I tell this everywhere I go. Charlie said to everyone, I've got an advantage over the disciples. They had Jesus in the boat, but I've got him in my heart. I've got him in my heart. That's the chesed of God. Though we don't deserve it. Oh, my heart is broken for the Stuckey family over this last 2 weeks. The Moore family and what they're dealing with little Matthew. The Henley family this week, what they're dealing with. The Horton family right now, what they're going through. My heart breaks for them. But I know the chesed of God will walk with them through the storms. Robert Barnett, James Barnett's brother, just a few weeks ago as he was dying, and I went to see him at Washington Regional, and with a big smile on his face, he said, Mickey, this is just the hand I've been dealt. He trusted God to carry him through all the way to the grave. For you, I told you a moment ago, I've been in the pit. I was in the pit of hypocrisy, of lying to God. Oh, I told him, I want to serve you. I want to be yours. I'm going to do this, but I didn't mean it. And I got to school, and I was chasing girls. I was chasing parties. I was chasing all these things, chasing all of it. But I was miserable inside. My bones were crushed inside me because I was such a hypocrite. My sin was ever before me. And one night, coming back from a place where I shouldn't have been, doing things I shouldn't have done, I met with the Lord about 3 o'clock in the morning, and I said, that's it. No more. Lord, from this day forward, I'm going to do what you want me to do. I'm going to be what you want me to be. I don't know where you want me to go. I don't know what it looks like. But from this day forward, I'm yours. And I cried like a baby that night. I said, I don't want to be a hypocrite anymore. I'll walk through whatever door you open for me. I am yours. And I had no idea what it looked like. I certainly didn't have a ministry in mind. And he did. He did. Maybe that's where you are. Maybe you've just been keeping God at arm's length, afraid of what he's going to ask you to do. Maybe you've just been dipping your toes in the water. But maybe it's time to dive in and say, Lord, I'm yours. Is that where you are? Maybe you're dealing with some other difficulty that I can't even imagine. But know this. The chesed of God is enough for you. It will carry you through any storm of life. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the deepest hell. Would you bow with me for just a moment? The chesed of God is pursuing you and me. And I don't know your situation this morning, but would you allow him to speak to you? And if he's tugging at your heart, would you just Let him have his way. Would you just say to him like I did one day, Lord, I am yours. You be the craftsman and I'll be the tool. You be the potter. Let me just be the clay. I'll go where you want me to go. I'll do what you want me to do. But from this day forward, I'm yours. Would you say that to him? Don't keep him at arm's length any longer. Because he loves you. And when it comes down to it, you need his chesed love in your life more than anything else. God's love pursued us all the way to the cross. God demonstrated his love for us in that while we were still sinners, while we were in the pit of sin, Christ died for us. And so this morning we remember that and we celebrate communion as he instructed us to do, as a memorial to the price he paid for us. And so as you hold the elements this morning, and then we'll take them together in a moment, just express your gratitude to God for his love. Thank him for his chesed.